Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Whoa! Where are we?
New set, ladies and gentlemen.
If you're an audio listener, head on over to the YouTube channel and check out our brand new in-home studio at Matt and Patricia's.
That's right. We've moved out of the living room, and now we've officially moved into the guest room. Is this set official? Is it done? It is still a work in progress. As you can see, for the people who are watching, we have a desk. We are sitting at a desk. This feels pretty official.
Yes, and I like that we are not holding the microphones. That's a throwback to our audio days when we were audio only. We had those little mic stands that we would give people. We sat at a desk, and we had it also. Oh yeah, with our red curtain.
Yes, it was our little like breakfast nook.
Yes,
it was kind of cute, kind of quaint. But you know, I've been wanting to get back on the desk vibe. Hopefully, the listeners and supporters of this incredible podcast we have don't get all up in arms like they did with Unfiltered when we had our own desks. People got so mad when we got the yellow desks.
Oh yeah,
like there was a bit of a rebellion. And I even think that like Zane was trying to like motivate people as well to like go to the Patreon, and if we reach a certain amount of Patreon subscribers, we were going to get rid of the desks. And I think we even were debating on like blowing them up at one point.
Did that happen?
No, it didn't. I think we ended up donating to the desk. I think they went to a good home. Hopefully like a local school.
So a couple changes here. We do have the desk. We also have these new, like, I would call them professional mic stands that you see on...
Clamps. What do you call these?
Stands? Microphone stands?
Arm clamps. Mic arms, so we don't have to like hold it.
I've never been on a podcast that has one of these before.
Wait, don't we have them on...
No, the good influences are just like,
oh, they're just like straight tripod mic stands.
Yes, these are like when you see a podcaster, like this is
some hardcore, like heavy streaming too.
Yes, yeah, I kind of like this. It feels a little bit more official. We're sitting upright too.
Yes,
which is nice, not slouching in a couch.
Now I can wear just sweats all the time, and you guys have no clue what I'm wearing. Yeah. Waist below.
I am wearing sweatpants today, and I said we're below the desk is nobody's business except our own.
That's right.
We don't know what's going on below these desks, folks.
What
were you going to ask?
Have you ever been on the news?
You know the one place I was in print.
I don't
remember. In Rolling Stone magazine with Macklemore. Not by name, but that was in the magazine.
Yes, we have talked about this before, right?
I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast publicly, but yes.
Wait, you got interviewed by somebody and they asked you what your opinions were on Macklemore?
I was in it was at the MTV Woodies in South by Southwest, and... I was like hanging out backstage and Macklemore was there. You were at the show.
But were we
didn't
friends?
Know each other. No.
That's crazy.
There's a few of those.
In the same area and we had no clue. Okay, so
you were at that Macklemore show, right? The MTV
yes,
Woodies.
Yes.
And yeah, there was I was talking to Macklemore. He was being super nice. He just played a set and I was like, great set, whatever. And then some other guy was just like, so what do you think about Macklemore? Didn't identify himself as a reporter, didn't have a checklist, didn't have a document with him, just like a regular dude, like, hey, so what do you think about Macklemore? I was like, oh dude, that's that thrift shop song, that's my shit, I love that song, he's great. And then I didn't think anything of it, and then like a month later in Rolling Stone, which I was subscribed to, I saw this quote that was like a white tennis band wearing hipster.
Oh, I thought they were going for your race in the beginning.
No.
I was like, bold move.
I was wearing a white tennis headband because that was our thing at South by, and yeah, it was quoted. They didn't quote me by name. I was identified as hipster with a white tennis headband. But
wow.
Yeah, I wasn't. That was, I think, the only time I was in print.
Were you really that big of a Macklemore fan, or were you just excited to be interviewed?
I didn't know I was being interviewed.
And how did you know it was the Rolling Stone? Did he say the publication he was with?
I didn't know until I saw the article in print.
Whoa.
Like, I didn't realize that was an interview. I was like, dude, that guy that I talked to for like 30 seconds wrote that down in Rolling Stone. I didn't know that guy was a reporter.
Oh, dope.
Yeah. And I just saw it in the paper.
Do you think Macklemore read it?
Probably.
Have you ever met Macklemore?
Besides for that one time. No.
I was such a Macklemore fan. I waited outside do you know what like the shoe brand Nice Kicks is?
No.
It's like a Hypebeast shoe store. It's like based in Austin. I think there's a few maybe around the country.
Okay.
And Macklemore did a meet and greet. And I waited in line to meet Macklemore.
Did you meet him?
Yeah, I met him and Ryan Lewis.
Great producer.
Are they still collabing at all?
I think Ryan Lewis might have taken a back seat after one of the things because he just didn't want to commit anymore.
Macklemore's still good. People just flipped on Macklemore overnight. Well, you know what? It's reasonable, especially after the Grammys, where he won Best Hip Hop Album, and it should have been Kendrick Lamar.
And he like texted Kendrick Lamar and then posted his text on his feed. A little cringe.
That's pretty cringe indeed. Do you think he didn't even run that by his team?
Definitely didn't.
Yeah, that made him look pretty bad. What did Kendrick Lamar even say back to him?
I don't know. I don't even think there was a response. I just remember you said like you were robbed, and that was like the big thing that went viral.
Oh yeah, when I met Macklemore, I was like, I love your song Fences. I think that's the name of it. It's the one about like opiates.
I don't know that one.
I was like, that's such a good song.
I kind of only knew the one thrift shop. Like that music video when it came out, it was just like.
And then
revolutionary.
I met the kid who was the Macklemore.
What is that?
That's the singer, that kid who was on that you would hold back tonight is the night.
That was a kid that sang that?
Well, like I mean, I think he was like under 21.
Oh, I thought it was like a man.
No, it was a man. It was like a young boy.
But I thought it's like a big older dude.
No, he definitely, no, he was much younger.
How did you know who it was?
Because we were in the, it was around that South by Southwest. We were in the Waterloo Records parking lot, and Macklemore did a concert during that South by Southwest. And I managed to get backstage. I don't know how I did that. My move wasn't wearing a white headband. My move at South by Southwest when I was younger was just putting on a blazer. Because if you put on a blazer, people think you're really official. Though looking back, that's kind of like the worst outfit to wear at South by Southwest.
Like just a sports jacket?
Yeah, just a sports jacket. A white sports jacket. Cream.
And what did you say? Were you saying, oh, I'm supposed to be here?
I would just walk past people and act like I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, South by is pretty easy. Well, now it's gotten, I think people like us have made them increase their security because
we've ruined
it was a little easy because they were just hire like interns from the local college to run security at these like massive events. Mm-hmm. The closest I ever got was the Justin Timberlake show at the Pure Volume House.
Oh, when you were talking to Olivia Wilde? And like Jason Sudeikis?
No, that was in New York.
Oh, okay.
That was fun, though. I still hold that when Olivia Wilde called me cute. I'm keeping that one
Say, oh, you're cute. You're going to have no problem finding girls.
Yes, which I wasn't even like trying to get girls. I was like, well, can we just go party? And they were like, no, we're old. We're going home. We have to go. We have to wake up for work tomorrow.
How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm a little hungover still from the weekend.
Yeah, you went pretty hard on Saturday.
And Friday, not that hard. I had a couple beers on Friday with the girls.
Whoa, couple beers.
Two in a row these days is like really tough.
Yeah.
Usually I will pick a day knowing that the next day is just going to be miserable, but even two beers these days just kind of takes it out of me.
I ran into you Saturday night, right?
I think we kind of planned it.
Yeah, I think so. Well, like it was kind of a bit of a surprise. I had no plans, but I just wanted to leave the West Side.
And you were at, I guess, Devin Spindler's house, and he put 8.5 on his big screen?
Yeah, he did. It was just a housewarming party. And okay. He was like, hey, let's put on YouTube. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's this really great music video. And he just starts typing in 8.5. And I'm like, please don't do this to me.
Yeah.
And he played it for like the entire party, which was really nice.
Oh, really? He just left it on?
Yeah,
that's kind of funny.
A little bit. And then finally people were like, okay, let's put on some college sports.
Did he have the sound on?
No.
Okay.
No, thank goodness.
The projector looked kind of sick.
Yeah, it was pretty dope. It came with the house. And then, so we went out that day. It was pretty fun. We went to the waterfront. And then I went to a birthday party for Pablo and Alex. Do you know Pablo and Alex?
Do not.
Oh, they're great guys. They, you know, they're big on TikTok. They're from Texas. They're Aggies, which, you know, I deal with. But they had their second annual Disney drinking games.
Okay.
Do you know what, like, the Disney games are?
I do not.
God. Guys, you see what I'm dealing with here? Mike doesn't know what the Disney games are or were. I don't even know if they still do it. But back in probably mid-2000s, actually the golden age, the heyday, the best days of the Disney Channel, there were the Disney Channel games. And that's where they had all of the celebrities, all the poster children for the Disney Channel get together. And I assume it was on one day a week. They made this thing seem like it was the damn Super Bowl. You thought it was happening live. But they would have like Zach and Cody, Raven Simone, Selena Gomez, Miley Cyrus.
And like a game show?
And it was like a series of games. It was like the field day for the Disney Channel. Like they would do a bit of like, I don't know, flag football. They would do some challenges and they would just release these games bit by bit over Disney Channel. So they did this theme last year. I couldn't go to the party. This year I got invited. And I didn't know if I really was going to make it, but I finally made it. Dude, it was an incredible party. They split you up into four teams.
Okay.
you know, the red team, the blue team, the green team, the yellow team.
Okay.
And it was mayhem. And it was some serious drinking games. I actually had to leave halfway through because I'd already been drinking the rest of the day. But it was a ball, dude.
Buddy.
Buddy.
Let me tell you. Did you win?
No, the blue team apparently ended up winning.
Someone beat you in a Disney Channel original trivia game?
It wasn't... if it was trivia-based, of course we would have won.
Oh, so what's the...
It was just drinking games. Beer pong. We had to open up presents, and inside were all these drinks, and everyone had to finish it. They also did the game, which I'm terrible at understanding. But you know the game where everyone like puts their finger on top of like a liquor bottle or a beer, and you almost have to like eliminate and make sure that like...
Kind of.
Everyone's finger still stay on the bottle.
Okay.
I don't even understand the game. But
sounds like a Mr. Beast video.
A little bit. And then we left that and we met up with you guys at Tramp Stamp Granny's, which is one of my favorite sing-along piano bars, basically. Like, you go there and it's a bunch of theater nuts. If you love musical theater and you're visiting Los Angeles, go to Tramp Stamp Granny's because they'll play all the show tunes that you want if you request them and tip that piano player well.
Yeah, he's an incredible piano player, and it's a real piano that they mic up, and he's got a microphone.
What does a real piano mean?
Like a piano with strings and...
Oh, it's not like an electric piano or keyboard.
Correct. A lot of musicians now, like, will, even when you go see them live, what they do is they'll take an electric piano and put it in a box that looks like it's a grand piano, but it's not a grand piano. It's just like the wood shape, and his setup kind of looked like that might have been the situation, which is fine. But it was not the case. It was a real piano, mic'd up, like, he's really making those sounds. And he had a little iPad in front of him with all the different songs, and he was just absolutely ripping.
Hammering through all the great songs. Like, when we got in there, they were already playing all of my favorite show tunes. I think it was On My Own from Les Miserables, and then it was, like, You'll Be Back from Hamilton.
Yes.
And then there was, like, Dear Evan Hansen.
And knock, Mike, knock, knocking, or what is it?
Tap, 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 tapping on a glass, waving through a window.
For those who've been following Matt King on Instagram for a long time, you may remember Matt King did a brand deal for TikTok.
Because oh my gosh,
TikTok
right.
had just been, they just bought Musical.ly and turned Musical.ly into TikTok, and they were trying to like promote the use of TikTok. And one of the things was like, record a sound, use a filter. And that's what you
and
did.
Then, yeah, because there was like almost like a glass filter, and I used that.
It's one of your funniest pieces of content.
Did you ever see Dear Evan Hansen
sure
on Broadway?
Didn't. No.
Buddy? It was an incredible musical. I saw it with Ben Platt. He was like the main guy.
Oh, he's, yeah.
And you know who sat behind me during it?
J.K. Simmons.
Wow, his name does start with a J, and he is pretty famous, but not J.K. Simmons.
I don't know.
He's Jewish.
Jerry Seinfeld.
No, another...
I don't know.
Jonah Hill.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, he Hill's. Sat behind you. You got better tickets than Jonah Hill?
Yeah, a row up.
Damn.
Take that, Jonah Hill.
What row were you? Do you remember?
Actually, first 10 rows, definitely.
So like...
These were some prime tickets. And dude, Ben Platt was just so talented. So anyways, they played a bunch of songs at Tramp Stamp Granny's. Mike, you fell in love.
We had fun.
You did.
There was also the bartenders and just like other people who were there were given mics to sing as well.
It kind of like turns, it's like kind of like a Coyote Ugly situation
yes.
now. I think they're trying to like lean more into that. But I've been to Tramp Stamp Granny's and were the waitresses or bartenders getting up on the bar and singing the songs.
Yeah, they were ripping. And mostly it was like the audience and the crowd singing, and then the piano player would like help a little bit. But the crowd there was just... That's like, it was like going to a concert.
Yeah.
It was so much, it's so much better than like a bar where everyone's just kind of standing around waiting for drinks. Like,
have you been to a lot of dueling piano bars?
I've never been to Tramp Stamp Granny's. I've never been to a piano bar.
You've never been to like a proper dueling piano
no,
bar?
No.
Man.
I would love to go.
Those are even, I think, more fun. I would say Tramp Stamp Granny's, though, is a very heavily musical-centric like fan base.
Okay.
Like, that's where their specialty is, are the musicals.
It does seem to draw a musical theater crowd because everyone there knew every word and they were all singing like pretty in key, and it was a blast.
Oh yeah, it was a really, really good time. That's a great gig to have if you're, you know, a musician and you need like a little nightlife job to go perform at a piano bar.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'm glad we went. And the first place we were gonna go was closed for a private event, and everyone in line was wearing tuxedos except for us.
Whoops.
And we got to the front, and they were like, "You're not here for the event, are you?" And we're like, "No, we are." And they're like, "No, you're not, because it's black tie." And we were like, "Ugh, okay."
What was the event for?
No idea. Couldn't tell you. They didn't tell us. But that's what I like to say, turning obstacles into opportunities.
There you go.
First bar was closed. Let's go to a second one. Had arguably one of the most fun nights I've had in a long time.
Good, man.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Talkspace. You know, Matt, sometimes life can get you down, and it can affect your life. It would be helpful to talk to a therapist, but some people aren't sure how to get started. Thankfully, Talkspace has made it easy to find a therapist that you'll like. It's convenient to meet online, at home, where you're most comfortable. Talkspace has made a huge difference in the lives of so many people.
And you may be someone who thinks seeing a therapist or a psychiatrist would be helpful, but you don't really have the time to actually find one and meet up with them, or hey, even afford them. So try Talkspace. By doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easy, accessible, and most importantly, affordable.
Why wait? Some people wait until something bad happens to talk to a therapist. But why wait? You can get a therapist through Talkspace. Therapy can help you shift your perspective, find tools to cope in difficult times, and be a guiding light. Getting started is the important part, and Talkspace makes it easy and affordable.
And with Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. And it's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your own home.
Talkspace is affordable and in-network with most major insurers.
And as a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/HH. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/HH to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show. That is Talkspace.com/HH.
Now, back to the episode.
Did you hear I started a book club?
Yeah, I did hear you started a book club. You want to share this with the audience?
I'm very excited. Guys, I'm starting a book club. Hopefully one day this book club becomes massive. Hopefully it becomes bigger than Oprah's book club, Reese Witherspoon's book club, Emma Robertson's. My book club is coming for all of you. But no, we've just started like a private group right now. It's like me, Connor Franta, Will Derbyshire, and my brother, Kevin. And we just finished our first book. We thought we were going to assign just a book a month. Mm. We all finished our book within a week, the first book. We read The Perfect Marriage by Geneva Rose.
Okay.
Great page turner. Super easy. Honestly, a little too easy. Kind of not my style for like a book. You kind of can roll your eyes, or, you know. It's a little cliche, a little cringy, but man, are the twists so good.
Oh, yeah.
All of us were addicted to it. We're also all now meeting up for our first meeting, and then we've already picked out our second book.
Oh, you did select it.
And I told you that we were interested in having you part of this book club, Mike, but I think you've read this book.
Oh.
I know, because you have this book, I think, on your coffee table.
Which book?
Try to guess.
Which book that you guys are reading next?
This next book.
That's on my coffee table?
It's on your coffee table.
Kurt Vonnegut?
Yes.
Which book?
Slaughterhouse-Five.
Okay.
Have you read it?
I read it in high school, and I barely remember it. And Adam Melcher also just finished reading it and said it was incredible, and I literally was going to start reading that next.
Oh! Okay, well, great.
Can I join you on this book?
Yes.
Okay.
You just can't come to the meeting tonight.
Why not?
Because we're going to be talking about the past book we read.
Oh, not Slaughterhouse-Five.
No.
Okay.
But we will probably be meeting, I don't even know, because we kind of have Thanksgiving break and all this stuff coming up. So I don't know when our next meeting will be, but you got to read fast, man.
Do you assigned readings through a certain page, and then you discuss at that point, or it's just let's finish the book and go?
We thought that it was going to be at the end of the month when everyone finished, but Connor read his in like 2 days, and then we all just like caught up. So.
But isn't part of the book club where you like kind of don't read the whole thing in one shot, so you can?
We have like a group chat, and we text like, "Where's everyone at? What page you at? Oh my gosh!" But no spoilers.
Okay.
And then when we get up, we'll all just discuss it.
Okay. I think isn't part of the book club though where you're like, you don't finish the whole book before you talk about it? Like, we'll be halfway through. It's like watching a series where halfway through or a quarter of the way through, we'll, oh my god, can you believe this character is going to do this, or what do you think is going
to
happen?
I guess we should set some like benchmark pages to like read up to,
or chapters to be like, let's have a like a meeting before we, but if everyone's reading it in 3 days,
if people are just good point, maybe you could bring that up.
at the meeting?
When you first get involved. And then next up, there's some books that we have in mind. I definitely want something a little bit more wintry for the Christmas vibes. There was actually a really great Hanukkah book that came across my TikTok page recently.
Actually,
it's called The Matzah Ball.
I will write that down.
Because there's tons of little smut Christmas books. And I've been looking for a good Christmas one. And then sure enough, there was a Hanukkah themed one. The Matzah Ball.
Do you know who it's by? I'm sure I can find it.
I screenshotted it in my phone. Let me bring it up. And it was, I think, last night when I screenshotted it, by Gene Meltzer. The Matzah Ball.
And it's a smut Hanukkah book?
It's the Hanukkah event of the season and the feud of the century.
Oh, that sounds kind of fun. It sounds like a Carly and Aaron book. But
I think so. Yes, it's definitely a girly one, but who knows? We might have a little wild card in the mix.
What is this lovely sweater you're wearing?
Oh, the sweater I'm wearing? It's from Alex Blom Creates.
It's very festive.
Thank you. She always sends me the best festive wear. She has a great Halloween collection. She also has a great seasonal collection. And I think she does just some good, regional location, shirts and sweaters and stuff as well.
Yeah, I really like that.
Thank you.
And you can't see it from where you're sitting or where you're viewing us, but we also have a TV, which we've never had before.
Yeah, we got notes.
Live on screen, Matt has his iPad connected to the TV, so we can kind of see and talk about things that we can then put on screen. Our next episode, we can give a little teaser, is going to be a New York Times crossword, how to solve the New York Times crossword. We're going to do a one-hour extravaganza episode.
That's right.
So stay tuned for that next week, and we're going to be doing lots of cool, different types of content now that we have the desk, the iPad, the computer, the TV.
Yeah, it's going to be a pull up that clip kind of situation. Hopefully it goes all smoothly. So if you ever see us, though, on video and we're looking up at the TV.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. It also serves as maybe a little bit of a key light, too.
What does a key light mean?
I don't know. I just thought it sounded good. Okay, book club is exciting.
Yes.
I definitely want to get involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
Will it be sacrilege if I audiobook it?
We've talked about this on Good Influences, right?
Yes.
I'm fine with it. If that's how you want to read it, then read it.
Okay.
But
it just will allow me to ensure that I get it done, because reading, you really can't do anything else. But there's a lot of time where I can be consuming the content of the book on a 30-minute drive here while I'm making dinner.
This is a controversial take, too.
Okay.
There's certain books where I think you're allowed to speed read. Read between the lines.
I do that a lot.
The Perfect Marriage, buddy.
Yeah.
I was skipping through that book.
Yeah.
I mean, you can ignore all of the paragraphs, mm-hmm, and just read the quotations, mm-hmm, and you know exactly what's going on. You can look at a paragraph and be like, all right, jits.
They had nothing
to do. But if you're doing audiobook, though, you have to sit through all of that.
That is fair. And you know what? I take that back. Kurt Vonnegut is an author who deserves the physical.
Can you give me a teaser of Slaughterhouse-Five? Do you know anything about the book and what it's about?
I believe, and again, I haven't read this since high school, so I might be wrong on some of this. It's about a person named Billy Pilgrim, who I believe is a World War II vet that was experiencing the Dresden bombings, but he gets what's called unstuck in time, and so the book kind of travels between different times. That's what I remember from
it. Is it confusing?
I don't think so.
All the reviews I've read are very positive.
It's one of the most classic American pieces of literature in the modern era. And Kurt Vonnegut is just, it's crazy that I call him my favorite author when I haven't read Slaughterhouse-Five, but his short stories are just so good.
He wrote Hocus Pocus, Cat's Cradle,
yep,
all of those. Apparently there's a documentary about Kurt Vonnegut out right now that's very, very good.
On Hulu, I watched it. Directed by the guy who does a lot of the Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes.
That's right.
Robert Whitey.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I need to check it out.
It's on Hulu. Kurt Vonnegut, also from Indiana.
Who else is from Indiana?
Your mom.
Oh, okay.
That's why I said it. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Maybe Adam can also join in the next book club because he'll be back from his
store. Oh, do you think so?
And he literally just finished it.
This could be a huge movement.
This could be big for us.
Pretty damn big, Mike.
Okay, what do we have next on the screen?
I got a new car. Not really.
That's okay. That's some clickbait, but you can explain what happened.
So had a car. My current car, I got something in the mail saying that there was a recall, an electrical recall on something electric in the car. And they offered like free maintenance for me to come in and just get the car checked out. I got there and he goes, anything else wrong with the car? And I said, well, my coolant light is always says it's low. And I know that's not true because my coolant is fine in my car. And I've read on like Defender forums that.
And you're a big car guy. You spent a lot of years in the garage. You know when coolant's low.
Absolutely not. I don't even know really what coolant does.
Take a guess.
Well, it's an engine and engines run really, really hot. And so I assume that you need coolant to help moderate the temperature of the engine.
I don't know, but that sounds right.
Okay. Also, wait, coolant, no, is involved with keeping cool AC.
Oh, yes. I think you need
coolant. Coolant. Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's when your AC doesn't work. You need Freon.
That's what it is.
Okay, so your coolant's running low.
My coolant's running low, but I thought, no, it's not running low. It's just that the reader of the coolant is just off. And so I told them that, but they ended up looking at the car and they said, actually, we noticed that there's a tiny leak in your car and we need to get a new part and that part won't be in until next week. So you're going to be without a car. And then you were like, ask him for a loaner.
Well, yeah, that's usually when you go to a dealership, that's what they're supposed to do. It's one of the benefits of going to a reputable dealership is if you have a problem and they have to take your car, they give you a loaner. Usually it's something pretty nice because they...
And this is a pretty nice... They ended up giving me a Range Rover Velar.
How do you spell
which is
that?
Like the V-E-L-A-R.
Okay.
And it's kind of like the expensive... It's like the rich mom version of the Range Rover.
Okay. Two-door? Four-door?
Four-door.
Okay.
But it's so low to the ground. It feels like you're driving a sedan.
Oh, I don't like that.
And there's no bells and whistles at all. I mean, it's kind of like a Tesla. Like, there's no knob to turn on the AC. There's no knob to turn up the volume except on the steering wheel.
That is the worst. One of the worst decisions that car manufacturers are making is to take away physical buttons and do everything on a screen. It's so frustrating.
Do you think we're going to lean back more into that version of technology?
I don't think so. And I think
analog tech, though, will come back.
I think it'll be like retrofitting it. I know that car companies want to do it because it's much cheaper for them to just put it all on a screen rather than like wiring up each individual button. It's much easier. Like what Tesla did is like basically show everyone, hey, you can actually save a lot of money if you have no knobs and no switches. So
it seems more distracting though.
It
is. I don't want to look at a screen while my eyes are on the road to figure out how the hell to turn on AC. I can just do it and feel the knob and turn it on.
It's fundamentally more unsafe. And what I've seen now is like companies are making like little dashboards of buttons that you then like stick to the bottom of your screen. And then you use Bluetooth to like connect the buttons to the different things. I'm thinking about getting one of them for my Tesla because I hate like when you want to change the AC, turn it on and off. You're driving. You could be going 60 miles an hour. You need to look at a screen, tap on a menu, tap on an item, tap on the right button.
Absolutely not.
No. Terrible decision. Auto manufacturers, if you're listening to this, if your dad works for BMW, tell them to put the buttons back in the cars. We don't want to do stuff on your screens anymore.
It's a pretty hot car though.
Are you liking the driving it, or are you like, I want my car back?
It kind of feels so delicate. You're like, I don't
want
to.
You don't want anything to happen to it.
No,
yeah.
I know. I'm just not used to driving it. But yeah, I got a new car, but not really.
And have you been driving it around?
A little bit here and there.
Using it to get some groceries?
No. Oh, yes, we do pick it. Do groceries. I'm now a big pickup grocery guy.
Yeah, I know. You're very into that. What's your grocery store of choice these days? Oh, interesting.
Even though I live by Gelson's, the Gelson's is so expensive.
Ralph's is pretty expensive, too. I just went to Trader Joe's for the first time long time.
At least gives you like coupons in the app.
I do. I love the coupons. You use them?
If it's part of my grocery list and it says there's a coupon.
My only concern with when you have the guy or a girl going to pick up your groceries for you is like if they don't get the right thing, it's a huge pain in the ass. Do you check your bag when they bring it to you?
No, when I got home, though, I asked for like a 12-pack of like protein bars, and I think that was like $20, and I came back with my groceries, and there was only one protein bar in it, and I was like, uh-oh, you guys messed up.
And did you tell them, and they fixed it?
Yes, I did, and I think they gave me credit then for my next order.
Okay, that's good, yeah. If you make it clear.
But just shopping for groceries takes so long.
Yeah, it's like at least 45 minutes to an hour.
And I never know where anything is.
I think a Ralph's is pretty well laid out.
I think so. You know, I noticed like in Japan, they're grocery carts. Guys, there's three things I love in this world. One, doing this podcast. Two, my lovely wife. And three, saving money. And that's why I found so much peace when it comes to my financial planning is with Rocket Money.
I've been using Rocket Money. Matt's been using Rocket Money since we first found out about them almost 2 years ago at this point. I love it. I check it every day. Every month they're sending me my reports and they cancel unwanted subscriptions that I may have forgotten about, that I definitely forgot about. They have saved both of us so much money. You struggle with saving money every month? Because with Rocket Money, you can quickly identify all the sneaky subscriptions that keep charging you month after month, and you can cancel the ones that you no longer use. It's such an easy way to start saving money.
And what also blew my mind is when I found out that 80% of people have subscriptions that they have forgotten about. It is too easy to subscribe to a free trial of something and then completely forget about it once you stop using it. And right as the monthly charges start rolling in. That's why I am such a big fan of Rocket Money.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place.
And with Rocket Money, you can easily cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all the work for you.
Rocket Money also lets you monitor all of your expenses in one place, recommends custom budgets based on your past spending, and they'll even send you a notification when you've reached your spending limit.
With over 5 million users and counting, Rocket Money has helped save its customers an average of $720 a year and $1 billion in total savings so far. So stop wasting your money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/hoot. That is rocketmoney.com/hoot. Once again, rocketmoney.com/hoot.
And now back to the episode.
They at least have a map.
They have the maps on the cart.
Yeah, they do.
That's kind of sick. How detailed are these maps?
Enough to where you could figure out the product that you're looking for, which aisle it's in. It's at least, you know, what's above the aisle, like the generic things, like this is the pasta aisle, this is the bread aisle,
okay.
of that stuff, so you can figure it out. But the reason why they don't want to do that, especially in America, I don't know if it's just the style of how they want consumers to buy things, but they want you to stay in the grocery store longer, so you can hopefully buy other things.
Right, and you know the psychology of, like, how they put the healthiest things in the front, and the most unhealthy things at the end of the grocery path that they want to bring you down. And the theory is, when you go to the grocery store, if the first thing that you saw was like all the junk food and all the snacks, you wouldn't buy it because you're like, I don't need that. I don't want it. Like, let me go get what I need. But the psychology is, you go through all of the fruits and vegetables and the healthy stuff. You get all your healthy stuff. You go through, get your pasta, whatever. And then as you're snaking through to the last section of the grocery store, that's where all the junk food, chips, snacks are. And the theory is, you're going to think to yourself, well, I already got all my healthy stuff. What's one or two bags of chips? What's one or two boxes of donuts? And you don't feel as guilty because you're at the end of your trip already, and it's like, may as well throw this
in. But have you ever noticed the produce section is always to the left, though?
Yes.
Shouldn't it be to the right? Because, well, there's like studies that say the psychology and patterns behind crowds move is that typically people go to the right.
Yes.
So they say stick to the left. Like if you go to Disneyland, insider tips that you hear, they always say, go to the left, because people will psychologically go to the right. And if you go to the left, you're less likely to run into crowds and you're less likely to run into lines.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's also just the way like a store's set up, where usually you can tell where like the carts are available, and then the carts, you put them away on the right side.
But I also think that, I mean, specifically at Ralph's, I don't know if every grocery store is like this, but they, if the produce is on the left, they put all of the checkout lanes in the right. So it kind of feels like, oh, this is the end. I got to go away from this. And they kind of force you to go to the left.
Okay.
But
another question I have, and this isn't me complaining about the world, the state of the world these days, but I'm always thinking about it.
Let's hear
it. And I'm not an impatient person when it comes to standing in a line, but it baffles me how many checkout lanes there are in a standard grocery store and how only two or three are working.
Oh,
like, are they ever prepared for this like big day where every single checkout lane is supposed to be manned by somebody?
Was
it the original plan is that there were always going to be 12 people working there at one time?
Yes, but hyper-capitalism and the perpetual need to have
the shortage of jobs?
No, it's just when you're the CEO of Ralph's and you're paying 12 people to be one in each checkout lane, and stockholders are like, hey, how do we get more money? for next quarter, they fire a bunch of people and the consumer has to wait longer in line, but they're paying less people per hour, so their stock price goes up.
Wow.
It's basically why everything in America sucks right now, is because capitalism is sort of just like peaked, and this perpetual need to like always make more money and make more money and make more money. It just, the natural progression there is things just get shittier because they cut costs.
How do we fix it?
I don't know. It's a big question for a lot of people right now. And there's like a lot of different economic theories. Like people think that there needs to be like a human, human capitalism, where it's like, how do we make things actually better for people, not just better for shareholders and more money? I don't know the answer, but I think people like will choose a place like Trader Joe's, which again, also a big capitalist company, but like companies that are actually putting effort into making the experience better versus just trying to make as much money as possible, people will start to choose those companies more, and it will force companies to compete, is the theory. Like, have you ever been to Trader Joe's?
I love Trader Joe's.
Yeah, it's great. There's always...
Except sometimes you can't find the damn thing that you came there for.
Well, they do discontinue things sometimes, which is frustrating.
I know, but sometimes it's like the essential things that you need for a recipe that are like basics.
Like eggs?
Yeah, eggs. I'm trying to think of exactly what it is I'm thinking of. It's like flour or like...
Sugar or like
shortening
pepper.
Or
yeah. Like, stock.
Yes. Even though I know that those are there. But
yeah,
sometimes...
People are always saying this, like, oh yeah, I gotta go to Trader Joe's and then I have to go to a real grocery store to get my groceries. And
yes.
It's like, but like, what do they not have there? I was just there yesterday. I think they have everything.
Do you know about like the hidden little mascots for every single Trader Joe's?
No.
It's mostly for kids, but there's like this hidden character that they have. It's usually like a stuffed animal of sorts. It may be like a Sesame Street character, or it's like a shark or a peacock. Huh. It's like a plush animal, and they'll hide it around every single day. And if you're able to find it and you tell them that you found it and you know where it's at, you get to pick a piece of candy out of the prize box.
Really?
You never known about this?
Never heard about this. Oh, I'm not a big Trader Joe's guy. I never really...
Oh, I do it every time I go. And
you find it?
Yeah, I kind of get weird looks because I truly think it's just for kids. But yeah, every Trader Joe's has one. Oh, also, you know what I found out?
Huh.
So Chuck E. Cheese's, my former employer from when I was 16 years old, is getting rid of now all of the animatronics across the entire country.
Okay.
And I think what they mean by animatronics is they're talking about the band, which is what the Marvelous Imaginary Band,
and
or Make Believe.
It
it's the
with...
Marvelous Make Believe Band, I believe, which like Pasquale, Chucky, the cheerleading duck, and whatever, the grimace-looking guy. And when I worked at Chuck E. Cheese's, we just had a green screen and one animatronic Chucky. But this is devastating that now they're getting rid of all the animatronic bands because it's just costing them too much. And I understand. And I also learned all the animatronic bands are still run on floppy disks.
Whoa.
Like the programming...
It's on a floppy disk.
It's on a floppy disk.
That's insane.
Never updated the technology, and so they're getting rid of all of them. And it's so funny, the timing of them putting out this announcement and all the hype that's been around Five Nights at Freddy's. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
And that movie is based on a young boy. It's based on a video game, which I've never played, but basically you're working like security at a old abandoned Chuck E. Cheese kids game parlor with an animatronic band, and the animatronics scare you. So there's all these hype, and everyone's all upset that these animatronic bands are going away. But I found out that the only Chuck E. Cheese that is still keeping their Marvelous make-believe animatronic band is in the LA area.
Over. Should we take a pilgrimage?
Should we?
Do you know what they're doing instead of the animatronics?
What are they doing?
They're actually going to train animals to play instruments. And it's a big investment, and it's a huge risk.
But I have seen an animal playing band before.
What?
I have, Mike.
Like it's a dog playing a guitar?
No, it's a bunch of cats.
Playing actual instruments?
Playing actual instruments. It's called the Acro Cats. It's a traveling troupe of acrobatic cats, and they are also known as the Rock Cats, and they all play instruments. I went and saw them in college, and let me tell you, the Rock Cats are a sight to see.
They're not actually playing the instruments.
Well, good question. good assumption, Mike. So The Acre Cats, yeah, it's this lady. She's a bunch of cats, and she comes out and she makes them do a bunch of different things. And the final act of the show is that she gets them to play these instruments. And basically, they're trained. They're just begging for treats, and they just know to go up to the instruments and strum away, and they play a music track behind it.
Where did you see this?
I saw this when I was in Austin, and I took a girl on a date to it, and it was actually one of the best, like, fun dates ever.
How long is the show? Like probably 45 an
hour.
Minutes?
Probably an hour.
And watching it's not just cats all, do
not,
stuff?
Not just all cats. She also brings out a groundhog.
What?
A bowling groundhog.
Okay.
And I think they also have like a duck as well. Maybe like a chicken.
So this woman's trained her cats to...
She has a full-on tour bus and a full-on team. I wonder if like the main cat, his name is Tuna. Now I think that Tuna the cat, it's a bit like Shamu. I think she may be on her third or fourth Tuna, but I was devastated the day that Tuna passed away.
You get the updates? You get the Google alerts for Tuna?
Yeah, I follow her on Facebook. And
oh my
it's
God.
Such a great show. But yes, if we want to talk about me seeing some animals actually perform, I have seen the Rock Cats.
That is not what I was expecting when I made that little joke about Chuck E. Cheese's, but that's interesting.
But I really do want to go to the Chuck E. Cheese, though I'm conflicted because when I worked at Chuck E. Cheese's, they said... And when I worked at the checkout stand, you know, every guest that comes together leaves together. You need to make sure that the kid that came in with the adult is leaving with the adult that brought them there.
Right.
And they did. I remember during training, they said, usually we don't allow just an adult to walk in without a child.
There's a Zach Galifianakis joke from when he was like big and burly and looked with his beard. And he just goes, when you look like me, it's hard to get a table for one at Chuck E. Cheese, which I imagine is probably pretty true. They don't want random single men.
But since the company's going bankrupt, I think they'll like,
take
please,
all the customers they
come
can get.
In.
Oh, God.
So I really want to go see the animatronic band because who knows how long it's going
to
last.
I wonder if you can buy those floppy disks on eBay and like figure out how to use, like program it into a different.
Possibly.
You know?
Bring back the animatronics. Bring them back.
Do they still have McDonald's play places? I feel like they got rid of all those too.
No. I haven't seen one in a minute.
You used to go in them, right?
Big time. Did you ever have like a town or was your McDonald's play place incredible or did you have one that was in a next by town that was even better?
I can't remember. I know the one that I went to was sick. There was a ball pit. There was all the little tunnels you can crawl through.
Did it have the space theme?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
The worst was the rows of netting. Do you remember those? It would be like nets, and like there was just like rows of nets, and you would like fall through them and just scrape your arms.
Was that really at McDonald's? You might be getting this one confused with like Discovery Zone or Fun Fest or these like
Discovery Zone sounds right, but I kind of remember like it was like the colorful tunnels. They had like the plastic bubbles that you could look through.
Oh, okay, yes,
and it was like a full. There was a ball pit.
Yes,
I think it was pretty serious.
Wow, bam, bummer, ball pits, man, just came and went. Ball pits were the idea of a ball pit. Hell yeah. Actually, I think if you privately want a ball pit in your own house, do it.
How long do you think you would enjoy being in a ball pit in 2023? How many seconds before you're like, okay, I'm done.
5 minutes. 5 minutes. Longer than a trampoline. Trampolines, man.
They wind you out.
When I was on a trampoline as a kid, I was on there all night.
Yeah, hours.
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 Get on a trampoline as an adult, you're like, all right, I'm done. I am done.
Or like a bounce house.
Oh, I still love a bounce house.
It's exhausting. You're in there for 30 seconds and you want to throw up.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have a trampoline as a kid?
Sure did.
Did your trampoline have netting on the sides or were you guys like living dangerously?
Yeah, we were living dangerously. Shit. We put it next to the pool and would jump from the thing into the pool.
No way.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Now, were you doing like backflips, aerials, all
gainers,
of it?
Gainers, everything, yeah.
Did you ever do the whole I don't know, shtick where you took your wheels off your skateboard?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then put that on the trampoline and would do kickflips?
Yes, that's the best. You just feel like Tony Hawk.
Oh, man. There's nothing like that.
Trampolines, I think, are one of the most dangerous things you can get for a kid, though. Like,
definitely.
I read something in, like, when you see those things in Reddit or, like, TikTok or things I would never buy.
Or people who's like, I'm a neurosurgeon. These are things that I would never buy for your kids and never take them. Trampoline parks, too.
Yeah.
People go to trampoline parks and die. People go to trampoline parks and walk out never being able to walk again.
I know. It's insane. It's truly nuts.
I do love a trampoline park, though. The idea of a trampoline angled up against a wall.
Yeah, seems so much fun.
Knowing you could do a backflip off that?
Yeah.
What a rush.
When I see those people doing the bounce and then they like go to the ledge.
Oh my gosh.
It seems so sick. Did you ever go to like a skate park with a foam pit?
I would go to skate parks and just like have
stand around.
The biggest identity crisis at a skate park. Because
why?
Because I couldn't do any tricks.
But did you skateboard?
I wasn't skateboarding. I was a blader. Okay. I was a soul skater. All right.
A rollerblader.
Soul skater. Did you ever see Brink?
No. Inline
see what
skates,
I'm dealing
right?
With, guys. Mike doesn't even know what Brink is.
Inline skates, right?
Inline skates, yes. Yeah. And I would just go there, and all I was trying to do was just dip in casually on like a quarter pipe.
The foam pits, though, that's the whole reason to go to the skate park.
Oh, we never had a foam pit at our skate park.
Oh, Matt King, you do not know the pleasures of being at the highest possible ramp in the place. You look down, and you know, once you just get past the first drop, you go in the air and you could just do whatever the hell you want because you're landing in a foam pit. You're skateboarding, backflip into the foam pit, landing on your neck, and nothing happens.
I would go to like open gyms. Did you ever do gymnastics as a kid?
I sure did.
I love gymnastics.
Same.
But I called it ninja training. Like I was like too embarrassed to say I did gymnastics, but for me it was just like ninja training.
Yeah, I think I didn't realize gymnastics was quote for girls until like I had done doing it. Like we did it for like a year or two. And then I saw like some movie and it was like only girls doing it. I was like, huh, that was only for girls.
Yeah, I did feel like a little bit of like embarrassment by it, but I really dug gymnastics. I just wanted to learn how to do a backflip and I never got to the class where they teach you how to do a damn backflip. We were just like learning how to salute. You remember just salute?
Yeah. Did you ever go on the thing with the pummel horse?
Yeah.
Where you put your hands up and you're spinning around? I was really good at that.
Oh, I love that.
It's easy when you're a kid because you weigh like 40 pounds. It's not that hard to lift up 40 pounds.
Could you ever do a backflip at any point in your life?
I don't think so. I used to be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Uncommon Goods.
If you want to hear, hey, where'd you get that? This holiday season, Uncommon Goods is your secret weapon. Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for everyone on your list. Whether you're shopping for your secret Santa or your entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what they want.
Let me tell you, the shopping this year, this month, this week, today on Uncommon Goods is truly remarkable. I don't want to spoil what I've gotten because I'm getting a few friends that maybe watch the show a couple of really nice things. I highly encourage you check out the site because the stuff they have on there is truly remarkable. Make sure to use our link at the end of this to get a product or a gift for someone that you love.
And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. These fine products are often made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts from anywhere.
From art and jewelry to kitchen, home, and bar, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Not the same lackluster gifts you can find just anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $2.5 million to date.
So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/hoot. That is uncommongoods.com/hoot for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer, Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Now back to the episode. To be able to do some, like a gainer off of a diving board.
Or did you ever do like the running trampoline into the foam pit?
No.
You didn't have that at your gymnastics gym?
I don't think so.
Oh, dude.
It was mostly like the rings and like the balance bar and that stuff. But we never got too crazy with it. A backflip? No. Sam can do a backflip.
I could do a backflip on a trampoline.
Sam can just do a backflip right now.
Was there a time in your life where you realized that your brother was learning a backflip and you weren't learning how to do a backflip? Because if my brother was learning how to do a backflip and could do a backflip, I would have to be like...
No, I knew Sam was learning a backflip, and I was like, there's just no way I can do it.
How old was he?
Probably like 11 or 12 or 13. Shit. And he just dedicated himself to learning a backflip.
Did he have a buddy who knew how to do a backflip and was teaching him how to
do
it? Because you've got to have like a spotter. You need to have somebody to get you up and get those legs over.
I think it might have been my dad helping him.
What?
Yeah.
Damn.
We were just doing whatever. Yeah, we used to fight him and like box with him too. Like,
oh, my dad would be like, you're going to hurt yourself. We are not doing this.
No. My dad would like be like, no, come on. Let's figure it out.
Did he learn how to do a back handspring first and then a back tuck?
Yes, that's what it was. He was good. He was really good at back handspring because we also did Taekwondo 3 times a week.
Are they teaching you flips in Taekwondo?
Oh, yeah.
What's the difference between Taekwondo and karate? Taekwondo, you kind of wear a bit of armor, right?
No. Karate is Japanese martial arts. Taekwondo is Korean martial arts. Kung Fu, Chinese
Taekwondo
martial arts.
Taekwondo is Korean.
Yes. Annyeonghaseyo. Kamsahamnida.
What does that mean?
Annyeonghaseyo is hello in Korean. Annyeong.
From, I know that. Hello.
And then Kamsahamnida is thank you.
I just wrote that down on my goals list the other day, was to learn Korean. Because I really want to go to Korea.
So that's that. And there's obviously differences in like what you do in Taekwondo. I think Taekwondo is more...
Are there colored belts? Are you working up to black belt?
Sure are, yeah.
Okay.
And I was a black belt.
Double black belt?
Yes.
What's the difference between black belt and double black belt? A double black belt's better than a black belt?
In Taekwondo, they call degrees. So you're a first degree black belt, second degree, third degree, fourth degree. I think the master is a 7th or 10th degree black belt. I got up to 2nd degree, and then I think you can't even be a 3rd degree until you're a certain age, when I was like 13. So.
Did you ever take those like photos? Remember like, I'm trying to find them. You know like when you would go get your like picture day for
karate? You guys
karate?
Did that with Liza for a video, remember?
Yeah. We did.
Yeah.
Actually, did we learn Taekwondo?
I think it might have been Taekwondo.
It was Taekwondo.
Yeah.
Oh, and we did those like photos of us, like those old 90s photographs of kids getting there. Were you a big Three Ninjas fan?
Not really.
How?
Three Ninjas Kickback?
Three Ninjas Kickback? Mighty Mountain, the one with Hulk Hogan?
Oh, yeah. I probably saw that one.
Three Ninjas Strikes Again?
Do I got to like type these in on Letterboxd now? Like, that's not something I would put on Letterboxd, that I saw Three Ninjas. Like, no, is that helping anybody?
More, it was just more of a rite of passage. I just can't believe you were actually doing Taekwondo and you weren't watching the Three Ninjas.
I was doing the real thing. Rocky. Go watch a movie.
Do you remember their names?
No.
Rocky.
Bullwinkle.
Colt. And Tum Tum.
That's
and Rocky Loves Emily.
That's crazy. I don't remember that at all.
Dude, Three Ninjas were unhinged. Three brothers... who have this Japanese grandfather, and I don't think that's ever established that they're biologically related to this guy, because mom was sure enough just this white woman.
Yeah.
And they go spend their summers learning under
this master,
and they only use their skills when needed, even though they like still kick ass on the playground and shit. And then they end up like defeating an entire like drug lord.
Three children.
Yes.
Beat a drug lord.
And then there's the Mighty Mountain or Magic Mountain with Hulk Hogan. A terrorist organization decides to hold whole theme park hostage. Whole theme park.
Okay. And these three kids under the
and
age
these
of
three
12,
kids
12, seven, and
managed
six.
To stop it.
That's kind of insane.
And there's even like I remember they stopped one of the rides mid-loop and hold the people hostage. Like, how long can a human last?
Upside down?
Upside down?
I think you pass out pretty quickly.
And then you die?
No, I don't think you die.
Should we look up how long can a human last?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, this is making my stomach churn. How long can a human live hanging upside down?
When you and Patricia have children, will you make them do martial arts?
I'm going to let my kids do whatever they... Hanging upside down
for
more than 25...
5 to 10 minutes?
No, 5 to 10
can be very deadly.
For more than 24 hours can cause you to suffocate.
As geez. Matt's typing in Three Ninjas upside down roller coaster scene right now.
Yeah, they hold those people hostage upside down.
That's crazy.
They're stuck. Like, they're stuck like this, and they're battling, I think, on the top. High Noon at Mega Mountain was the name of
it. That is crazy. Wow, yeah. Hulk Hogan. I would suggest having children. I think children should do martial arts. It's such good mental. And
I
like,
felt like I had a kid who was like a biter, a fighter, like no, physically out of line and was hitting people. I'd be like, okay, let's learn.
Right. But what about a kid who's just like a nerd and like.
Then he just needs to learn how to fight?
Yeah. Or just, it's not even about the fighting. Like, the thing that I remember is like, it was really, and maybe this was because I had a really good teacher, but it's like, they teach you about respecting your elders. They teach you about like managing your emotions when you're crying because you're 6 years old and you can't break the wooden board and you're six. Like, you have to learn to focus your energy, put it into your hand, take that and push through. Like, and you're learning these like incredible life skills that I think really serve you actually, for the long
maybe
term.
Maybe I do like the idea of my kids doing
MMA
martial arts.
Is like, that's to me, that's just full blown blood sport. Like, you're just learning how to kill somebody. But like, martial arts usually is more mental than physical.
But is it just like you're showing up to the class, you're learning the moves, you go home? Are there competitions on the weekend? Are you working up to tournaments?
Well, you work up to like get through different belts, so you have to like train and you have to, you know, learn your forms and do that, and then also you have to spar with people and like win, so you have to like use your brain to kick.
Is
in
it expensive? How much are these? I never realized how much baseball was as a kid, or like,
oh,
how much,
yeah,
is a karate class.
I don't know how my parents were doing it. We each took 2 music lessons and karate 3 times a week.
Wow. All the brothers at the same time?
Yes.
All 4?
Yes. So like, we had, I was doing drums and guitar, Sam, Daron, and Johnny were doing piano and guitar, a lesson a week in each instrument, plus practice every day, plus we went to karate 3 times a week.
Damn.
We were booked and busy as kids.
I was just doing like baseball.
You were watching Disney Channel originals.
Disney Channel original movies. That's right.
What else did you have on your list, Matt? As we
what
to the
else?
Here?
I mean, some stuff we're going to cover in the next one. No, that's kind of it. I mean, I've seen some good movies lately, but I kind of talked about on my Snapchat today.
You want to talk about connections before we go into our next episode, which will be next week?
Yeah. What do you want to talk about connections for? You haven't done it for today, right?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I thought we
could do it together.
I failed.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
I was looking at connections today.
Buddy.
And I couldn't even like figure out one connection between all of
them. Here's mine. For connections, for those who don't know, in the New York Times crossword app, they have other games. Connections is a new game that we've been playing in our spelling bee and New York Times group chat. They give you a list of 16 words, and you basically try and pick groups of 4 that are all related. But they'll do it in such a way that you'll pick 4 that should be related, but it's wrong because there's actually a different relation that you didn't see later on. First thing I do is I always shuffle it because I don't like the way that they lay it out. Because they lay it out on purpose.
To mess with your mind. You
right.
think you immediately see a connection.
It'll be like BMW, GM,
yeah, there's
Ford.
Like kick and ball. And you're
right.
Like, oh, kickball.
Yeah, and it's, those two are definitely not right.
My strategy is just to find the weirdest word in it. The one that makes zero sense.
Right.
And then you think backwards on that. And that's how I figure it out. Like right now, I think it's the word dolly, or was that yesterday?
But the other thing that I think is really funny, which I think we need a new joke, but anytime the connections is extremely difficult, we threatened to send anthrax to the New York Times. And we come up with different ways to express our frustration with how difficult the connections are. So, you know, we'll send a link for how to mail anthrax.
Right.
We'll send a link for, like, the chemical composition of anthrax. I was trying to think of an anthrax one today, but I was just so upset that I couldn't even do it.
Have you ever seen the movie Aquila and the Bee?
Yes, I did. It's about
like
the spelling bee.
Kiki Palmer.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Fishburne.
It's like a young girl who's like a spelling bee whiz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially the Karate Kid, but for the spelling bee. And it's such a good, like, heartwarming film. I had never seen it, and I fell in love with it. Did you ever have the spelling bee when you were younger?
Yeah. I smoked it every time.
Did you win your school, and did you go on to districts?
I mean, it was a Jewish private school with, like, 8 kids in the class.
Oh,
so
they don't think, like, they recognize you guys
no.
on, like, a state level?
We were not chartered, no. It happens.
Yeah, I remember like we would have to do the spelling bee just in our classroom, and if you were the best one in the classroom, then you went on to the school spelling bee.
Yeah. And did you do that?
Yeah, I did, but I definitely didn't make it to like the final school one, and I don't even remember watching kids do the spelling bee. But I love the documentary called Spellbound. Have you ever seen it?
No.
They follow like a bunch of kids across the country and working their way up to the National Spelling Bee.
I do love every year when those videos go viral of the kid winning it.
Yeah.
Like whatever, some kid going nuts.
And I want to go see a spelling bee. But then I was like watching the movie and I was thinking, actually, is a spelling bee kind of the most boring event
so
ever?
Boring.
You're just sitting there waiting for kids one by one, and if they're spelling words that you don't know how to spell.
Soliloquy. S-O-L-L. Oh, wait. Soliloquy. S. Oh, I'm already wrong.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a lost art form, because now with like spell check these days, I don't think like the...
I think it's still holding on.
It's wild when you look back at like the winning words of past years. You can look up all of them.
Really?
Yeah, and it's funny, certain words that nowadays we're so used to.
Oh,
so,
interesting.
Like, it'd be like 1945, the word photographer.
Oh.
Or maybe 45.
Right.
It's a weird one. But yeah, like people were like, oh, that's... Right. What is a photographer?
Right. Computer.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. Want to pull some up?
Yeah, let's pull them up. The winning spelling bee words over the years, right? Here's the winning word from every spelling bee since 1925.
Hopefully okay, they let's have it check
reasonably.
It out.
Oh, here, ooh, eczema.
Here, can you do something for me, Matt?
Oh,
click on the top where the reader is, and we'll get rid of all the extra bullshit. You see the little two A's in the URL bar?
Oh shoot! What?
Yeah, now scroll. Oh, did they not? Oh, bastards. Well, we tried.
Here. This is better. So, interning, 1936, the winning word was interning.
Promiscuous, 1937.
Initials, 1941, the winning word was initials.
The winning word in 1940 was therapy. That's wild.
Whoa.
Therapy should be, I mean,
chlorophyll?
That, more like borophyll.
1947.
Ooh, 1970, croissant was the winning word. That's a fun one.
1965, eczema.
God, it gets so much harder in the 2000s. I can't even pronounce these words. Suck at what? Look at 2001. Suck on them.
Oh, succedaneum. Succedaneum. And so they say like when 1982, psoriasis.
1983, Purim, Jewish holiday. Look at that. Luge. 1984, the word is luge.
No way.
Look at that.
Luge. Like,
huh.
Like an Olympic luge.
Yeah. This is a fun list to do with your friends. Maybe pull it up at your next party with a gathering of friends. Do some 1960s spelling bee.
I think you would ruin the party if you tried to do that. 1976 was narcolepsy.
That's a great word.
What
happened in 1960?
What do you win? What do you win if you win the Scripps National Spelling Bee? Is it like $100,000?
Type in Scripps National Spelling Bee Award.
Prize. Scripps. I think you do win like $50,000. I remember when I was a kid and I watched it, they interviewed the kid who won. They're like, what are you going to do with the money? He's like, buy some video games. Usually it's always a kid from Dallas. Shout out to Dallas. There's always a kid who's
winning. $50,000.
$50,000. That's what you win. Last year, Dev Shah, 14-year-old from Largo, Florida.
I remember seeing this one. Yeah, Samophile.
Is there an age limit? Like, can you be... there's no way you can be a senior in high school and enter the National Spelling Bee. I bet it has to be...
okay, 16.
16.
Oh, wait.
Who have neither turned 16 nor passed beyond the 8th grade.
Okay,
so it's only middle school.
But if you're a 16-year-old in 8th grade, there's no chance you're going to the spelling bee. That means you got held back like 5 times.
Who knows? Maybe you're like just really, really...
You got held back a couple years, right?
You promised you wouldn't bring that up. Were you ever borderline almost held back?
No. I was crushing it.
I wish I was held back. But sometimes I wish I was in the grade behind me. I was because I was young.
September, yeah.
I was a July baby. I was just the youngest kid in my grade.
So like when school would start in September, you had just turned.
Yeah, I think my parents just wanted me to enroll in school. Even though in kindergarten, I only went to school half the day.
Do you remember, have you read the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell?
I think I've read the beginning. Is that the one that also talks about like Birkenstocks in the beginning?
Maybe.
That's Tipping Point.
Maybe that's Tipping Point. The Outliers is about like the idea that you can determine like who's going to be a hockey player in Canada based on what month they were born. Because kids who were born earlier in the year in their grade were developing much more than the kids who were born later. So like you would not have been a hockey player because you were the youngest and therefore you wouldn't have been drafted on the team and therefore you wouldn't have got the extra attention and training, et cetera, et cetera.
I also think I could have been a little bit more athletic if I was held back a different year. I just wasn't interested in joining athletics. I didn't want to join the football team. I didn't want to do any of that because I still felt so small.
You were, because you were a year behind.
Did you? Oh, yeah, your school experience was different than mine.
Yeah.
But yeah, sixth grade, we had PE, and then seventh and eighth grade, you joined athletics. And that was like you were part of the football team. You were part of the basketball team, and you had to...
Dodgeball?
We didn't really play dodgeball that much.
I remember one time we were playing dodgeball in gym in high school, and I didn't even realize that I made a mistake, but I made some mistake in the game, and some kid got so mad And it's the first and only time it's ever happened to me. But afterwards, we're in the locker room getting changed, going to our next class, like science. And I remember my shorts were around my ankle. So I'm in my underwear, about to change. And this kid just comes up to me and pushes me against the locker. And he goes, "Don't you ever fucking do that again. You know, you've cost us the fucking game." Oh, and he's like hitting the locker. And everyone like fucking grabbed him away. He's like, "Whoa, relax, bro.
Chill, Jeremy. It's yeah, just dodgeball."
I always have a little bit of like a PTSD from when I hear like dodgeball.
Do you remember
locker
when rooms? Dodgeball was sweeping the nation because of
the movie?
The movie. And then next thing you know, on Spike TV, they're having professional dodgeball.
I mean, that's how it happens. Yeah.
Oh, we would play dodgeball the time as a kid. It was perfect right between like my house and my neighbor's house.
It's the best. It's such a great game.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, man. Folks. Well,
oh, well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Our first episode on our new set. Get ready for our next episode where Mike and I are going to be doing the crossword and the connections, even though he may have already played it, but he's going to watch me play it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to check out all of our other episodes as well. And you know what? While you're at it, leave us a review. Go on the Apple Podcast app and write us a review. It truly helps us out. And as well, do it on Spotify and anywhere else where our podcast may be uploaded. We love you guys so much. Thank you for always listening to this podcast. It really means a